When it comes to religion, people seem to prefer to have a mystery. Those in the leadership of various denominations are satisfied with, and they prefer to have it that way, having a mystery, because then people depend on them for answers. And those in the ranks of the denominations are satisfied having other people tell them what they need to know because, well, that takes less effort. And the problem is that it leaves people wide open for false doctrines. In fact, that's what one of the things that led to the downfall of Israel. Take a look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 6. I get my Bible flipping here. Hosea chapter 6, or actually chapter 4, sorry, and verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me. I changed their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. And it will be like people like priests. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. When we look at the Bible, God didn't write it such that it was totally unknowable or not being able to be understood. In fact, it was written to be understood. For instance, when Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 3, he says that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in the brief, by referring to this, that when you read you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Paul wrote so that when we read what he wrote, we can understand the things that were mysterious that weren't understandable in the past. He's trying to clarify. He's trying to give us understanding to it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 12, he says, I got 1 Corinthians, hold on. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. For we write nothing else to you than what you have read and understood, or understand. And I hope you will understand until the end. Paul is focused on the simplicity of the gospel and it being understood by those who read it. Peter basically said the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 12. He said, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will be diligent at any time after my departing that you'll be able to call these things to mind. By writing these things down, Peter wanted us to be able to remember the things he has taught, so that we can call them to mind. We can just read them again and understand. John also made a similar type of statement in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and in verse 1 he says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. John wrote down what he saw. He wanted us to know his testimony, which means we understand. In fact, understanding is commanded by God. In a passage we referred to this morning, but in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 17, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God would not give a commandment that we cannot fulfill. And God expects us to understand what He wants us to do. Now take a look what expectations David had of God's word. We're going to go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And look at starting at verse 97. How I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I observe your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Think about what David's expectations are. He's looking at God's word. He's thinking about it constantly. He's meditating upon it all day long. Is he going to gain understanding from it? The answer is yes. He's going to meet his expectations. You know, if you approach the Bible with the idea that, oh, it's just too hard, I'm not going to be able to understand it, well, how much do you think you're really going to get out of it? In fact, one of the things I found interesting is I looked at various denominations and what they teach their people as far as their expectations of understanding the Bible. For instance, the Roman Catholics in 1913 in a publication called The Question Box. The very nature of the Bible ought to prove to any thinking man the impossibility of its being the safe method to find out what the Savior taught. Are they going to learn much from the Bible with that attitude? They look at it and say, it's impossible. Another quotation. The Bible was not intended to be a textbook of Christian religion. And another quote. Second, a competent religious guide must be clear and intelligible to all, so that everyone may fully understand the true meaning of the instructions it contains. Is the Bible a book intelligible to all? Far from it. It is full of obscurities and difficulties, not only for the illiterate, but even for the learned. And one more quote here from the Roman Catholics. More than this, parts of the Bible are evidently unsuited to the very young or to the ignorant. And hence Clement IX condemned the proposition that the reading of the Scripture is for all. These principles are fixed and invariable, but the discipline of the Church with regard to the reading of the Bible in the vulgar tongue has varied with varying circumstances. In early times, the Bible was read freely by the lay people. New dangers came in during the Middle Ages. To meet these evils, the Council of Toulouse and Tarragona forbade the laity to read the vernacular translations of the Bible. Pius IV required bishops to refuse lay persons leave to read even Catholic versions of the Scriptures unless their confessors or parish priests judged that such reading was likely to prove beneficial. They were actually telling people, don't read your Bibles. And I find it amazing because it admits in there, in the early church, people did read their Bibles freely. But we ran into too many problems with teachings that we disagreed with. And so to keep compliance, they told people stop reading. And as time went on, they got more and more strict about it and more discouraging about it. And it's not just the Roman Catholics. The Orthodox Church, one that everybody forgets is just as old as the Roman Catholic, they split off. The idea that the scriptures are self-interpreting is patently absurd. It assumes a degree of absolute objectivity and would make the most ardent prophetist cringe with embarrassment. This is exactly what the doctrine of sola scriptura assumes, a bare text that somehow imposes its meanings on the reader. You can't read the Bible because it's absurd to think that a text can tell you what it means. I thought that was communications. I thought that was why people did write books. But they discouraged the reading. Jehovah's Witnesses. People can only fully and accurately understand the Bible and God's purposes through their association with religion. You can't read it on your own and understand it. Somebody has to explain it to you. In next quote from the Jehovah's Witnesses, witnesses are encouraged to attain to oneness and thus not harbor private ideas when it comes to Bible understanding or be suspicious of their teaching, but rather have confidence in what they print. Talking about the watchtower. If you do it on your own, you won't understand it right. You need us to tell you what it means. You got to rely on us and be confident we can tell you what it means. Even Presbyterians, in their Westminster Confession of Faith, nevertheless, we acknowledge the inward illumination of the Spirit of God to be necessary for the saving understanding of such things as are revealed in the world. God has to come down basically and zap you before you are able to understand what the Bible says. That's basically what it's coming down to saying. Also, a quote from John Calvin, who's basically the founder of Presbyterianism. It says, they who strive to build up firm faith in Scripture through disputations are doing things backwards, because even if anyone clears God's sacred word from man's evil speaking, he will not at once imprint upon their hearts that certainty which piety requires. Since for unbelieving men, religion seems to stand by the opinion alone, they, in order to not to believe anything foolishly or lightly, both wish and demand rational proof that Moses and the prophets spoke divinely. But I reply, the testimony of the Spirit is more excellent than all reason. For God alone is a fit witness of himself in his word. So also the word will not find acceptance in men's hearts before it is sealed by the inward testimony of the Spirit. The same Spirit, therefore, who has spoken through the mouths of the prophets must penetrate into our hearts to persuade us that they are faithfully proclaimed what had been divinely commanded. Basically, he says, you can't understand the Bible until you're inspired by God. The Holy Spirit who inspired the prophets have to come in and inspire you before you can say you can understand God's word. Another group, Christian Scientists. Doesn't the Bible alone show us the way to eternal life? Well, yes, it does. But humanity had the Bible for close to two millenniums without fully understanding how to use its truths in a scientifically provable way to heal and regenerate people like Christ Jesus did. To arrive at that kind of understanding, humanity needed to comprehend the Bible on a deeper level. They needed to unlock the Bible, so to speak. It was the specific mission of the science and health to give the world this key to the scriptures, to open up their treasures, and enable everyone to use them. Basically, they're saying, well, you can understand it superficially, but there's a deeper meaning. And so you need our book to understand the deeper meanings. Why do these religions do this? Again, if you go back to what the Catholics were complaining, people, when they read their Bibles, for themselves and see what it actually says, start to object to the man-made doctrines that are in their religions. And it becomes a problem to them because they lose followers. So they actually discourage people from actually studying their Bibles, from actually reading them. Oh, they have Bible readings and stuff like that, but they're select verses. They're told what those verses mean. They're taken out of context so that people don't understand how these things fit together. This is how they keep compliance. And what a contrast it is to what we find in the scriptures. For instance, in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 14, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Timothy learned his Bible from childhood. He's known the scriptures. And they are able to make him a complete man. The Bereans also in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and in verse 11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. Even though they were being taught by the Apostle Paul directly, they grabbed their Bibles and checked. They knew their scriptures. They read it for themselves. In fact, take a look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and in verse 15. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. Notice that. A lack of understanding comes from a lack of seeing. If people would just look and see what God has actually said, they would understand. They would be healed. In fact, the way we come to God is through what God taught. Take a look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and in verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. This is how we become Christians. We read. We learn. We understand what God has taught us. Jesus used a parable about the various soils, where the word of God is being cast on various types of hearts. And in Matthew chapter 13, and in verse 23, it says, the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The good soul is ones who actually listen to what God said and understands it. Not because somebody zapped them or somebody told them what they had to understand, because they listened and understood straight from what God has said. It's a really short lesson, shorter than I was planning to be. But I want you to consider, are you the good soil that's understanding what God said? Or are you coming with expectations that's just too hard and that you'll never understand it. Because it'll change drastically how you perceive what God has said. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God, I would like to pray for your brethren on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.